Good evening, good evening, good evening. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Good evening, good evening, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Nkem Dilemo Konja speaking live, signing in to the Konja radio station. Welcome back to another episode. Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode. Thank you very much for being here. As you know, this is season 14, guys. This is a mix between the Friends podcast and the, you know, normal stuff that we're doing. And should I put it with me? No, let's put it with me, yeah. I have a surprise for you guys. It's a wonderful surprise. But before we get into that, let's do the normal rounds, guys. You know, as usual, how was your day? What was the weather like? Come on now, tell me. You know I love gist, guys. You know I love gist. So you have to tell me. Write me emails, send me voice notes, you know, talk to me in my DMs. Come on now, we gotta let this thing be popping. You know, we gotta let it be popping. Anyway, what was the weather like today? Was it sunny, rainy, cloudy, windy, blue skies, foggy, smoggy, a mix of two, a mix of three? Come on now, you gotta list it out for me and tell me what the weather was doing to you. You know, because I know my Nigerian friends, all of you guys, you are sweating and you are dealing with the heat, and the heat is cooking you. Oh my gosh, I pray for you guys all day. I pray for you guys all day, all the time. Please do remember to keep sunscreen. Please, black people need sunscreen. I don't know who told you black people do not need sunscreen. We do. Okay? It's healthy. It helps us look good. It helps us look shinier. The sun makes us more beautiful with the sunscreen. You know, if that's a convincing argument for you. But yeah, please, you know, wear sunscreen, ladies and gentlemen. It's gonna help your skin. Okay, but yeah, most definitely, how was the weather like for you? What did the weather make you feel? How did it make you, you know, how did it make your body feel? Anyway, what did you do today? Did you stay home? Did you go out? Did you do your workouts? Please, let's be healthy, ladies and gentlemen. As we know that summer is right around the corner, so summer bodies is everywhere. You know, summer bodies is everywhere, so let's get our summer bodies in shape, and not only just that, to be actually healthy. You know, but what did you do today? Did you stay at home, which I did? You know, did you go out, which I did not? Did you go get groceries, which I did not? Because I got groceries on Monday, so I'm fine. You know, and I hope you guys had a wonderful day, because yeah, that's what we're supposed to be doing. How you feeling? How y'all doing? I'm brushing up on my patois again, guys, because obviously, you know, my Trinidadian and Jamaican friends, they are always speaking to me. So how y'all feel? What y'all say? You know, what's going on with y'all? How you feeling? You know, happy, sad, irritated, confused, angry, you know, elated, ecstatic, excited. I hope you guys feel happy feelings, because the negative ones, although we have exams and although we have work, we gotta keep the negativity down and the, you know, happiness and the interest up, because it is almost summer, as I said, and come on now, we have good food. I'm sure we all have good food. So let's keep the happiness because of the good food and because of the people we love, please. You know, how y'all doing? How y'all feeling? I hope you feel good. You know, I hope you had a very chill day with lots of rest, lots of fun, and very little stress. Absolutely, always yes. I also hope you had a good food, because good food is life, and you drank a lot of water, because hydration is key and very much needed. Now, in my own case, my day was fine. You understand? I have exams, so, you know, and I'm still doing podcasts for you guys. I love you guys so much. You know that. You know that, because, you know, I'm sacrificing time to, you know, say a little bit of a hello, hi, what's good, what's going on? But no, my day was good. I ate, I studied, and I did the podcast for you guys, you know, and I checked up on my friends, talked to my parents, you know, did a bit of music, and just basically was a bit of a lazy bum today. So yeah, but let's get into the podcast for today. Actually, there are no song recommendations in this episode, guys, so there will be song recommendations in the next episode. Please do watch out for that. There will be song recommendations in the next episode, but today there are none. And for this episode, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be talking about the African household. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the African household. And please do get your popcorn ready, because the episode is long. get your popcorn ready, get your drinks in, get your things up. Like I said, just make sure that everything is set. Do you understand what I mean? Like, make sure that every single thing is set. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen. But obviously, you know, we have a lot of my friends on the podcast that you guys are gonna be listening to today. We have a lot of my friends on the podcast, and please do remember to be kind, be nice, and send in your requests. Send all the gist that you wanna hear, everything that you wanna see on the podcast. Tell us. You know, well, tell me, because like as in you don't have their handles yet. So tell me. They're gonna give you their handles in the next one. So do watch out for that. But yes, as I said, sit back, relax, listen, learn, and understand, take advice, and put your feet up, ladies and gentlemen. Please do enjoy. Thank you for letting us in your ears tonight. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As I said, this is Nkemlu Mkonja speaking live, and we are currently friends, guys. Today, you know, as I said, it is a friends episode. So we are with a group of friends of mine, and because we're with a group of friends of mine, we're gonna be talking about a few topics today. Well, actually, just one, but it's a very, very broad topic. All my African people, please do know that this pertains you very, very seriously. And so I would need you guys to please listen up. And so because of this, thank you and welcome to my friend. Thank you for being here. And I appreciate you for, you know, coming on my podcast today. Now, my friends, to my ladies and gentlemen, I would like you guys to introduce yourself. So Jade, please go first. Say something little about yourself, and just say, like, as in something fun. So
okay, hi guys, my name is Jade, Big Jade, the gorilla man, whatever you want to call me. What else? Yeah, bro, I'm super shy. Like, I don't normally do this, you know. I usually skip this part. I don't know what Kems want me to say, but you know, yeah, that's it.
All right. That's fine then. Hello. Would you like to actually introduce yourself and say something fun, and say something about yourself.
So my name's Elo, Charlie Poppy's sister, you know. I have a fur baby. His name is Deuce Osas. And yeah, like I'm kind of shy too, but you know, I'm on here. We're doing it. So yeah, that's about me.
Beautiful. And Tamara, would you like to say hello and tell us something little about you?
Yeah. Name's Tamara. Some people call me Nate, basketballer, trying to go pro. I'm not as shy as most people, but I could say I'm a little bit of an ambivert. Something fun about me is that I'm a big space nerd. I'm a big anime nerd, and I might just light up your day with a little bit of spice. You feel me?
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. Everyone with a bit of spice. We love that, as you should. Okay, so guys, there's supposed to be one more person on the podcast, but I think the person is running a bit late. So we're not gonna wait, we're still gonna carry on. So the topic for today, as I said, it pays to all African children very, very seriously. And the topic has to deal with the things that we African children have to deal with in the African society, and the pressures that the African society gives to children, especially us, the teenagers and the young adults. So I would like to start first with Elo. Elo, I'd like to start first with you because our last guest is here. Just before we get into that, Gabriel.
Yeah.
Would you like to introduce yourself and tell us something fun about you?
My name is Gabriel. I'm 26 and I'm originally Italian. My parents are Nigerians and I moved to the UK like 11 years ago.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And as I said, my topic today is about the African society. You know, how the African society has impacted us and the problems we have faced when dealing with it. So now, start with you first, Edward. What is your first ever memory of something traumatic, you know, in the African household that you've ever experienced? You don't have to go into so much detail, but, you know, I would love to, you know, expand on that if, you know, you possibly give me room to do that.
Traumatic experience? I guess it's just like, because I'm like the first daughter, but I do have an older brother, but like he has Down syndrome, so like all the responsibility and weight shifted onto me, so I have to be like the primary caregiver for all my siblings and all that, so
Well, I relate to you in that sense because I am the first daughter, but I'm also the first child. And parent. You know, they look at you as the second parent in such a way that you are the one person that understands them more than the parents do. Do you understand? Yeah. And it's almost like as if you're raising kids you didn't give birth to. As much as it is still wonderful to, like, as in be with your siblings and teach them, it is also very tiring because we are parentified, you know. And I would like to shift that on to Gabriel, you know, I want you to bring your experience in here because you are much older. So I would like you to bring your experience in here and tell us, like, as in what exactly are the things you have experienced in the African society personally that has not sat right with you or even the African household?
To me, for example, is that I'm the first child too, and I'm the first male in the house. So I agree with everybody right now that said that you are the second parent for your siblings or stuff like that. For example, I had my kid at the age of 17 in an African household. So it was kind of be hard for me as my dad wasn't actually happy about it. As I had a daughter as a young kid and this and that. As an African parent, they were just gonna tell you, oh, wait for your daughter to be, or your son to be 18 before you see them, this and that. But me, because I grew up in Italy, I grew up in the UK, I didn't have that mentality, like the African mentality of leaving my kid and do me. So to me, growing up was a bit harder. So I kind of lived by myself most of my life just because of that aspect of, that African mentality that my parents have that I didn't agree with and I didn't condone, but I kind of adapt to it. So that's me.
Beautiful. All right. I would like to go to Jade. Jade, do you have anything more to add to that? You know, what's was your own experience like? Let's expand on that.
I feel like everyone here was the first child. It's crazy. But in addition to what everyone said, aside like the obvious, I feel like we also have this thing of like us being like the experiment kids, if that makes sense. Like we're the first to, like, you know, they put all the extra attention, all that pent up, you know. I must get it perfect. I must get it right. So like they try all these crazy things that they don't do for like the other kids yet, and like it tends to mess us up a little bit. It's a smidge bit more than the other guys.
But
it is what it is, you know. I don't even know if that relates to the topic. I'm so sorry.
No, that's perfectly fine. That makes perfect sense because, you know, like as in the way that a lot of things are done, you know, although it has been helpful in some cases, it has also been very detrimental because a lot of us have trauma And, you know, we either don't see it or we don't classify it as trauma. Do you understand? Like, we don't think of it as something very, very serious. And we go on with our lives living, you know, in a little bit of fear and a little bit of condemnation. And, you know, it sort of wraps our mentality, you know. So I do what you're saying completely, you know, it completely relates to what we're talking about. And Tamara, I would like to ask you to, you know, give a little bit of insight of what you've heard everybody say. You know, I'd like you to give a little bit of insight from your perspective. Tamara?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
I would like to say this. It has to be like every single person here. We can change the title to firstborns talking about their trauma in an African household, because I was also the firstborn, but I was also the only child. So there was this mentality of the whole ride or die, you have to get it right no matter what. So while there's also a pressure of being a parent for everyone here that has siblings, there's also the issue of you have to succeed. There is no, you can be a good example or a bad example. You are not an example. You are both the example and the final product in that kind of sense. And it gave us, I can go into a lot of traumatic things that happened. I remember the time when I was like 9, we went out, had pizza. I was so happy. Then I tried to talk to my dad about getting me a new game from the PS4. Well, I think PS3 then, because back then the PS3 was bombing. And I was like, I was so happy. I was like, Dad, get me the PS4. And he was like, no. And I was so sad. Right now, here comes the funny part, is that when I was sad, we got back home, then I was walking down, I saw a cockroach and I let it pass by my leg. I was like, I was just so sad, I didn't think about anything. Then my dad out of nowhere came over and got his belt and beat the heaven up. He bit the holy Christ out of me. He made me a believer of you have to kill every single cockroach that you see, every single insect that you see. And I know it's trauma, because every time I see an insect, or every time I see a cockroach, I have to throw at it. I have to literally find something to kill it, because that mentality of getting beaten, because it wasn't just like, oh, it was like he slapped you or anything. No, I was legit beat. I thought the camera was about to come out and say, oh, sorry, this is WWE Night Fight Night on Raw. I was terrified.
Damn.
Okay.
Because afterwards, can I go a little bit more into detail a little bit?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That's perfectly okay.
Afterwards, he was like, it's because of this stupid game that you're playing. You're always seeing so tired, so inattentive, and you broke my PS3. Bro. Oh, I was down. I was depressed. I was so sad. I was crying. And it sounds kind of small, because people are like, that's just a game. But it isn't, because... Well, I was actually kind of lonely as an only child, so that was actually my way of escaping from a relatively, as you could have imagined, a very aggressive type of household.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say there is quite a lot of trauma from it. And one thing I don't like about African households is the lack of, like, freedom of expression.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't have the, anything that's called, if a parent says no, you can't ask, no matter how polite, you can't say why. It would be, you're questioning my authority.
Yeah.
And then when you're questioning an authority, well, we all know what happens next. Curtain drop. Yeah.
Most definitely. I do very much relate to that, because when it is that the authority of the African household is threatened, you know, they see you asking questions and wanting to know more and wanting to know why as a symbol of disrespect, and which is something that should not be seen as such, because children are naturally curious. So, you know, as in the thing of wanting to, you know, dampen a child's curiosity is very, very, you know, in my own sense, it's wrong. You understand? As much as, yes, you would be, you know, irritated with the child asking why all the time, they want to know, they want to understand, you know, but the thing is, they are curious, they want to know, they want to understand. That's what you need to get from that. They want to understand your own thoughts and pathway of where you know you are going through. Do you understand? So that kind of thing needs to be said. But also bringing it forth to Jade, I would like you to please expand on that if you can. You know, think of questioning authority from parents and how it feels. You know.
Me, I have experience in this field. Me, I don't live with my dad, so it's my mom since I was like 9 years old. Yeah, but my mom is the type of person that loves to be in control. It's either her way or no way. Like, she is intense. I mean, she has like the best intentions here at the end of the day. Like, she loves me. I know that what she wants is best. But it's either like she runs the house like a dictatorship.
Yeah.
Boo boo, it is so bad sometimes. Like, what exactly am I still looking for here? Like, is it not just like get money? Rent an apartment somewhere. I don't, me personally, I take it as motivation. See, I'm even getting sidetracked. What I was trying to say was that, like, African parents have this thing of, like, how do I put it in a way that's not rude to my mom? Because, like, yeah, man, it's scary because, like, people end up with this, you know, type of, I don't want to say trauma, but it's like this insecurity, like this sort of, what's it called, problem with authority type problem. Yeah, mm-hmm. That like if someone's over them, they absolutely have to do this, and like they lose, like, what's it called, they can't, they lose the ability to think for themselves and make certain type decisions because everything has been made for them. Or like everything has to do a certain, you done it a certain way. So like there's no creativity. There's like their growth is stunted, and like it's not your fault, it's not our fault, it's just the way we were raised. And it's sad because it's come so normalized, we don't even like think twice about it.
I do very much I keep saying I do very much relate with that, you know, because man, I remember when I was much younger. Now it's much better, you know, but I remember when I was much younger where, you know, it was a thing of that my parents, they're very, very much, you know, like concise and everything, you know. And I understand, yes, you know, because the child is young, you know, you want to set a clear pathway for the child. That is very, very true. But the way of where you run the house of like a dictatorship, it makes the child fear you more than they understand you. Do you understand? Like, as in, I feel like that causes more, that breeds more problems than it's worth, you know? Because as much as, you know, you want the child to understand, you want the child to know that you are in charge, you want the child to, you know, listen to you, but that like, as in, that thing of, you know, that conciseness, that pressure, you know, that immense thing of, you know, on your head, it's a bit of like, as in, the child begins to feel constricted, you know, and completely, you know, can't breathe. And then the child might start to act out, you know, the child might start to act out and bring about, you know, other cases where it's things that it starts to get blown out of proportion. You know, I'm sure Gerald, you'll be able to Gabriel, you'll be able to, I'm sorry guys, sorry I messed up your name. But you'll be able to you know, relate to that in a sense. And I would like you to expand that if you can.
Yeah, I do relate to what everybody just said. I really relate to it. But at the same time, I kinda, growing up, since I'm 26, growing up, I kinda understood at the same time that it's not even our parents' fault at the same time. It's their parents' fault and their parents' fault, because they grow up with that kind of same mentality.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I've stopped myself from doing. I've stopped that. It's not like I've stopped them African mentality. I still got it sometimes, but since I had a daughter, I've started thinking like, I didn't like this behavior when I was a kid. This is the kind of behavior that made me behave or act out or lash out the way I do now.
Yeah.
The way I did as a kid. So my daughter, I'm kind of different, but I seem to understand why everybody's saying that. For example, my dad told me not to see my daughter till I was 18. I left the house for a good 5 years. just the house, moved out, started working and stuff like that. But the sense that it was a thing that hurt me, because I was like, cool, I messed up the relationship with my parents just because I wanted to be better for my daughter. As an African, as an African parent, they see it as your daughter or your son will come and find you.
Yeah.
But to me, in a sense, it's like, that's not the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. I had a kid, so I'm going to take care of my kid no matter what. In a sense, as a kid, right, I went through a lot. I can say I was the black sheep in my family.
Mm.
I said the most, but as stubborn I was, right, at the same time, I was like, I don't want...
Well, network issues there.
For example, the way Tamara said that about the cockroach trip. My dad used to get angry if we left the light on when we were in bed by mistake.
But yeah.
What I mean, get flogged. And my dad is Muslim. My dad... Them Muslim could book them long. I will get flogged. Like, what I mean, flogged. I will get flogged that I'm not be able to sit there for a good week. I went to church before with my dad's handprint on my face. Like, I'm not trying to say that I was that child. Yeah, I'm gonna have to be strict with my kid. They have to do what I say, this and that. So, to my opinion, I feel like African parents don't really listen to us.
Yeah,
they're just.
Uh oh, another build network. But no, I do get where you're coming from. You know, I do very much get where you're coming from, because the thing of not listening, I felt very, very much unheard in my childhood. As much as yes, they did listen in some sense. You know, they did listen in some sense where they were attentive to my needs and stuff like that. But the things that I try to explain to them, you know, when you're trying to explain to your parents that something happened, or you're trying to explain your own point of view because you don't understand theirs, you know, or even though you understand theirs, you're still trying to at least just make them understand your own point of view, even though you know that they're not going to take your own, you know, they're not going to take what you're going to say. You know, the thing of where you do that and then they just disregard everything you're saying, or they tell you, you know that phrase, that common phrase, I'm older than you, so be quiet. You know, it's kind of like I felt very, very much invalidated when that happened, you know, and I'm very sure a lot of us did as well, because it's like, I it's not like I said, if I'm trying to change your mind, I just want you to, you know, see what I'm thinking, you know, I just want you to see what I'm thinking. And then as you grow from a child into, you know, a young adult of, you know, your teenage years of the 15, the 16, the 17, you know, when they continue to do that, it's kind of like as in, they're suffocating you, you know. Tamara, I'm sure at some point in your life you felt that. Would you like to, you know, elaborate for us?
I would like to elaborate a little bit, because when it came to suffocation and a lot of things, I could tell you that I felt it a lot, even when it wasn't there. Because with the feeling of isolation, right, as an only child, I think for me, I would say, I'm not going to make this like my only thing, but it was the intense smothering. My mom is protective. My dad is not always around. So she's trying to protect me. She's trying to shield me from the problems of this world, being strict, telling me what not to do. I was predominantly Christian. Like, most of my life in my household, I didn't have any like mind for myself until a couple of times when I thought I had to rebel. I had to do a lot of things. The thing about it is, I'm happy now is because even as I've rebelled against them, like, my family and I, we're straight with each other. At least there's some form of communication. But back then I used to, someone please call me Batman, the way I used to switch personalities. Because when I was with my mom, I was the cocky, the playboyish Bruce Wayne. When my mom is around, when my mom is at home, I can talk to a lot of things. I can do a lot of things. I can sneak out the house, no problem. It was chill. I was like, I knew how to work around her because I've been with her for longer. But when it was my dad, oh Lord, for those 2 months that I was around, I had to be, yes, sir. Would you like some tea, sir? I was not
a British kind of thing, you know.
I had to change. You don't understand. I had to literally change my entire personality. I had to become from, which character can I use? Like, you know, all these like punk rock with a mohawk, emo kind of goth, like. And then, okay, that was me, because I actually used to be emo and kind of goth. That's besides the point. But then when my dad came around, I used to have this suit, bro. I was a butler. I was Alfred.
Oh my god, yo.
And then whenever like it's, and the thing about it is that I think a lot of people can, there's this like the memes on TikTok, they're like strict kids when they're with strict parents, they know how to pretend, how to be good with character switching. I was like in between. I couldn't learn how to do it well because he was only around for 2 months. I only got 2 months of experience every time. It was actually really bad because sometimes it would flip and I would actually do what the rebel me was. And oh, I actually sparred with my dad one of these days. Like, we had a literal fight. That was like when I was older, a little bit, like I gained a little bit of muscle, a little bit of like more rebelliousness. We had a fight. I was kicked out of the house for like a couple of days. I had to squat with my mates. So it was like, I couldn't. And the only way I was able to get out was actually my mom. God bless her heart. She was beautiful. I love her so much. We still argue to this very day, but I love her so much for it. Because if not, I would be homeless. I love my dad too, actually. We've reconnected on a different level.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I love them either way, but the trauma they've given me, sometimes it doesn't go as much as easy as you want it to.
That's the thing. You know, that trauma thing. You know, personally, I've learned to, I've done my work on myself. And, you know, I personally, what I did was that when I got to a certain age, I think I was just done with it. You know, and I think my parents too, they had grown as well. You know, I feel like when you're a child and when you're in your early teens, obviously you see that your parents, like, I mean, you don't even see your parents as your friends. You don't even see that as people that you can talk to. But eventually, you know, I feel like repetitiveness, you understand? Because your parents are learning as well. With repetitiveness, they eventually start to take things in. You understand? They eventually start to take things in and understand that, look, my child is my child. They're not an extension of myself, because that's what a lot of African parents do. They think of their children as an extension of themselves. Meanwhile, they're not, like, as in, they're not fully human. Do you understand? And that's a problem that, you know, we face as an African community, where, you know, they think of their children as an extension of themselves. Meanwhile, you know, as much as that is beautiful, that still, you still need to think of your child as a fully formed, normal, living human being. You understand what I mean? And so after doing that work of myself, you know, I had to sit my parents down and make them understand that, look, Mumsy Popsy, there's some certain things that I can't, you know, I don't really like anymore. It doesn't really work with me anymore. And so because of that, you know, we worked through that. And then as things progress from there, we learn, you know, different things from each other. Do you understand? And eventually my parents have grown, they've understood my point of view, you know, they've even taken my advice on multiple occasions now, you know, and it's like, as in, we're friends now. Do you understand? As much as, yes, they're still my parents, but they listen now. They're ready to understand me, they're ready to take in, you know, things that I say. And I feel like it comes with, as in, with your age. Do you understand? I feel like parents, when they start actual working human being, and you have started to progress in some ways of life, that is some parents anyway, you've started to progress in some ways of life, they start to see that, you know, you are you know, you're no longer there, just their mini me. You know, you are not a full-fledged human being, and they start to, you know, clock that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would like to turn this over to Elo. Actually, Elo, I would like to turn this over to you in a question of, you know, what have you seen so far, like, as in, from your adolescence to your you know, to your adulthood now, your teenagehood.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. So
what would you see that your parents, like, what would you say your parents have changed and have gotten better with, you know?
Okay, well, like, what's it called, I'd say, like, being like the, I'm not really the oldest, but because, like, my brother is incapable and I'm, like, the oldest, like, in that sense. Like, I remember how, like, they always want you, like, number one thing was school. Like, you know, they're like, oh, I came to this country so you could have a better life, you know, focus on school, get the education so you could be successful in life. And the thing is, like, some African parents, like, sometimes they're not satisfied with what you give. Like, you know how they always want you to be top of the class? They always say, oh, I was top of the class back in da-da-da, like,
da-da-da.
You know, sometimes, like, school, like, one thing, like, I know, like, mental health, like, most African parents, they don't believe in that. Like, when I was thinking, they'd always pray it out of you. They're like, there's no such thing as depression. None of that. They'll take you to church. They'll pray it out of you. They're like, they do not care. They're like, stop saying this nonsense. And, like, that was me back then. But, like, now, like, in my adulthood, like, as I see, like, because especially, like, with my other siblings, like, they're younger, like, she started taking care of, like, now she believes in, like, mental health and depression. Like, over the years, she's finally understood, because she kind of works in, like, the healthcare services now. But, like, she kind of sees, like, how my youngest sister was, like, struggling. She helped her get the help she needed. She didn't, like, say, oh, it's not real. She didn't pray it out of her, like, how me back when I was younger. But, like, she's, like, growing. Like, she's getting in with the modern age, like, not sticking back to, like, the old traditional ways. So that was something I see growing up. So I was like, okay.
That's beautiful. You know, there's something that you mentioned there where they, you know, they actually start, you know, I can't even lie. Let me just say this, yeah. I genuinely feel like us, the older siblings, we are the test subject, although I don't mind it, you know, but we're so honest with ourselves. And, you know, because we are the experiments, although that there are a lot of things our parents did, you know, wrong, there are also a lot of things that our parents did right. You understand? As long as we can acknowledge the bad things, let us acknowledge the good things as well. There are a lot of things that our parents did right, you know. But another thing, just before we acknowledge the good things, let us talk about that thing of, you know, where your parents, you know, like I said, they've done quite a few things, they've learned, you know, and then they now give all the best to your siblings. And it's like,
exactly.
Yeah, that's a different parent, or did something happen, you know? You know, I would like Jade to take this, because
Jade is not taking this one. Sorry, Skip. Thank you.
I can take
it. Jade said that he's not taking
it. I'll have to take that.
Oh, please, do it. Take it.
Now, for example, like I said, me growing up, I was the black sheep of the house. I was the one getting shouted at and this and that. But when I had my younger brother, I noticed this as a teenager, what I would do as a kid, right? Bro, they would not do nothing to this kid. Like,
honestly.
I used to go out late, I come back late. But that would be a massive argument, or I'm getting locked out of the house. My brother can leave the house for 10 p.m. I come back like what? The day
exactly.
After.
Exactly.
No, no, do you nothing. I'm like, are you kidding my son? Is everything okay? This and that. I'm getting a B in school or a C in school. Mm-hmm. I'm getting B up for that. Why can't you not get A? The people that got A got two heads or two brains, this and that. My brother gets a what? A D. Oh, you're doing good, my son. Keep going. I'm like, excuse me.
Oh, Lord.
I'm like, excuse me. I'm getting beat up for getting great, even better than him. And he's getting great worse than me. Everything's okay. Like, what's going on there? So, but I kind of let the center that, like you said, we are the test subject.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I noticed, when one of your parents are angry at each other, they take the blame out on you. Like, you're the
person. Let's not. If we start talking about that transfer of aggression, I don't think we're going to leave here today.
Because we'd also put our own aggressions. We know what we've gone through.
Honestly, you know.
I'm happy they learned how to be with
all the siblings. I'm sorry, man. You guys have it so good, man. Like, your parents have learned. I'm still in, like, the other stage. You guys are talking about it.
No. My mom learned. My dad has to learn. Me and my dad still go head to head to today.
Same, actually.
Me and my dad, bro. I'm telling you this. I said, man, me and my dad, I put him in a boxing ring. Me and him went on the boxing ring. One-on-one thing.
Yo, what?
Like, it got to the extent where I told him, let's go on the boxing ring. Since he, bro, because the thing, like, if you speak to them, you're disrespecting them. So I was like, oh, let's go boxing in there. Let's just train in there. Bro, that training became a fight. It became a proper fight. And I was like, it got to a point that all of us are just, we cannot handle it no more. It's not like we can't handle it. We can't keep taking the same behavior and just be like, oh, it's
yeah.
At one point, it's just gonna explode and be like, nah, man.
Yeah, you do explode. You do explode at some point, but as you know, as we have all acknowledged that, you know, we were the first. Do you understand? Yeah. They've never done this before. They're just understanding what it is to have a kid. Do you understand? And so they're learning from it. So as they grow, you know, we are growing as well. And as we grow, they grow, you know, and as they have more kids, they then get to understand some mistakes and some certain things, you know, and then from there, they then learn that, look, there's some certain things that can't be done. There's some certain things that should be put in place. There's some certain things that, you know, you can't always shout at. And there are some certain things that you can't always, you know, be angry about. You can't flare up about everything. Do you understand? So, yeah, that is very, very much a true thing. But let's look at the good things now. You know, let's list some good things now.
Oh, so sorry. Before we get, like, there's so much to talk about. I feel like, you know, we've just been skimming through. There's actually deep things.
You know, you all have been talking. I've just been quiet since because I don't have much to say.
Me, I have much to say, but I'll just kick it.
No, but I said I have much to
accidentally open this podcast one day. Like, I don't know, man. That's the thing. The fear of censorship. She's not here. Like, she's probably never going to listen to it. But it's like, what if she does? That, like, that what feeling. If she hears what I have to say? Bro, that feeling.
Nah. Exactly. Nah, I know myself. I've told this to my mom before. That's why I said that I have it easy, I think, compared to a lot of you people, because for me, the whole coming at late thing, oh, you know, I have to fight. My mom definitely knows this. She had to beat me with a hanger one time. I said, even if you lock me out of this house, I'm still gonna go out by like 8-9.
Exactly.
It's a hanger. When I was gonna be with fry pan.
Bro, I'm still getting into that little bit.
I am 21
the way that
we talk with the most things, like as if anything that was in their hand at that moment, it was thrown at
brother,
you, bro.
Now, brother, I'm grateful actually of that because I play basketball. It's a lot of physical. Any small injury where I get, I know go feel up because the shit that I've been through.
I feel like that's something we should be happy about. Like, I mean, I get like, you know, finding joy, chaos or whatnot, but bro, that's traumatic as hell. Like,
I know that is problematic. That's traumatic, but it's not like I'm not saying it as far. I'm finding the good in the bad. Yeah. Oh, hell, yeah. It's just painful. Oh, it's painful as hell.
You need to find the good in the bad, honestly, because you know, at the end of the day. As much as it is still very, very much, you know, a lot to get past, it is still a thing of their parents. Do you understand? Unless they have obviously done something unforgivable, which, you know, well, is there really much unforgivable in the African society when our hearts are literally melted by our parents almost every single time? Do you understand? But the thing is, you know, like as in, we are made to understand that, look, the elders are also growing. Like as in, we are going through life at a pace where, you know, it is what it is. Do you understand? Obviously, sometimes it is not what it is. You know, the Lord help us. But a lot of the time, that is the case. It is what it is. And we have to make do, understand, move on, you know, grow, differentiate some certain things, you know, make peace, and then, you know, attack situations head on, you know, and then talk about it. Do you understand? Because I feel like a lot of the time in the African society, what we do is that we eventually, like I said, we eventually leave it until, like now, for goodness, you know, where we leave it until we're in our 20s, where we now finally have the greats, you know, to talk about it. But, you know, during those times, it's like, I think our mouth is, as far, may I speak pidgin, our mouth, they've been with lock and key. You understand? You know, lock and key. Nobody there. No, if you open your mouth, see what to go do you. You understand? So that kind of thing. You know, so it's a thing of where, you know, we have to grow, we have to learn, we have to understand that, you know, things are moving at a fast pace, whether we like it or not. You know, whether we like it or not, things are gonna move. You know, so yeah. I would also like to bring out this thing of, you know, as I said, talking about it. You know, I would like to bring out the thing of talking about it. How has, you know, talking to more people, you know, obviously you see that we have a lot of shared similar experiences in some way or the other. So I would like us to, you know, talk about some certain things and say, how has talking, you know, with other people helped you, you know, in that certain case? Tamara, I would like you to go first, then Ella will go next. So Tamara, please take it away.
Talking. Well, that's the funny part, because I did not talk until like I'm talking now. This is basically my way of actually going through therapy.
Oh.
Because a lot of the time, as I grew older, I think most of the time I just heard a lot about trauma fixing, because as much as it was an experiment for my parents and how to parent, it also was an experiment as a son, how to communicate with elders.
Yes.
So I made a mistake. I've made so many mistakes on how to talk with them, be polite. Oh, I've made many mistakes on how to be polite with them. How to really, would you call it slight manipulation of how to say something that you want to do? Obviously knowing that it's bad, but to make it sound good to them.
Yeah.
I've had to do a lot.
We've all had that point.
I think some of us here can relate to how, I think the guys here, that if you try cornrows, you are not entering your house. You are now home.
Boy, I got dreadlocks.
No, for me,
Brisky, I went to uni. I came back 3 years in. My hair was full. First thing they took me to was the barbers.
Looking sharp. Looking shinier haircut, bro.
Nah,
no, because for me, as I am in my 20s, like, I've had to talk to my mom about it. She was like, Tam. She had my full name, Philip Tamara Tinate. When I hear that thing, I'm like, brother.
Your name.
Brother. I was like, no. Like, you want to do this thing in my house, under my roof. You have to find who will feed you, because I will not do it. Praise God for my cousin. My cousin could do hair, yeah? So after begging her, we're going to do cornrows. We're going to do this. I think Nkema see my hair. That hair, I sent a picture to you. Yeah, that hair. We had to be like, it's not bad. It's just to let my hair grow. Maybe I'll cut stuff on these days. I lied that I'll cut stuff, because me, cut this hair off, is my baby. Ain't no way. It's my baby at that point. So it was like, all right. She said, okay, it's fine. And then like recently, like a day or two ago, I just told my cousin, hey. Come. Let's do the hair. She was like, against mom? I said, don't worry, she won't talk. She talk, oh. But the thing about it is that I think when you grow older, in a sense, they really can't do anything much about it. Exactly. So, for some of us. And then it's just like, they will complain, but they'll be calm.
It's not about, you know, not being able to do anything. It's that they say that, well, yes, in the part of they can't do anything, but it's also in the light that, you know, they have started to actually respect you more as a human being. You know, that's the thing. They, like, as in, they allow you to detach from themselves. Do you understand? It's actually very, very, like, as in, obviously we're not parents yet, so we don't know. Do you understand? But I heard this phenomenon from a mother where she said it's the crucifixion of, you know, of the parent, where the child has to go out into the world, has to see the bad things to understand what you have been teaching them, and has to come back into the shelter of the parents and then understand that there is more growth in the outside, you know, but even though there is more growth in the outside, there is also more hurt. You understand?
And because there is greater reward, there is greater risk.
Honestly, you know, so all that kind of thing is very, very, you know, it's a lot. It's very touching, but it is also very, 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 very restrictive sometimes, you know. So it is a lot. I do very clearly understand what you mean, you know. And I would like Elo to carry on from there, you know.
Carry from where? In the sense that
she's been so into the talk, she's just been like, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, I would like you to carry on from the fact that, you know, like, as in, being able to talk to other people, how has it exactly helped you, you know?
Well, like, compared to, like, okay, one thing about me is because, like, okay, yeah, I went through some of the experience of, like, what African parents are like, but, like, the thing is, like, sometimes some of the methods, like, I was born and raised in Canada, so like my African parents weren't as strict as those who I knew who were like born in Africa, like did all that. Like when I would talk to them, like, okay, maybe my life wasn't that hard, like compared to yours, like how you would explain it. Like although like my parents still followed some of those like old world like methods, like it wasn't that hard. Like I would like just like bond over and like just talk about it, like communicating them, and I'm like, it was like, okay, I could see like the pros and cons of it, like what they did and all that stuff. But yeah, that was me.
Okay, and I would like Jade to go from there.
how I feel when I talk to people,
But I don't, because I like my sanity. When I talk to people about parents, first thing I feel is immediate jealousy. I'm not gonna lie. Like, as you people have been talking, I've been like, wow, I wish
you guys have had this well.
Exactly. Bro.
I'm honest, I don't
bro
think
had the balls to walk out of his house. Me, they, I cannot. They will find me.
Bro, no. Jaden, let me tell you this. For a good 5 years, I didn't even know where I was. I didn't pick up nobody's phone. I changed my phone number.
Nah, Brisky, and that's the difference. Like, I feel like I'm so dependent. Like, I know for a fact that if, God forbid, anything happens to my mom at this moment, like, I'm finished. Okay. I'll probably survive, yeah, because, like, the family is... Our immediate family is very close, but, like, as a person, I'm probably very, very, very finished. And I don't like it because...
Oh, your uncles will be looking for you.
Mm. You know that thing we say in Nigeria, or you're lower, as per your own.
You're on your own,
brother.
Nah,
in Africa, there is no blood else blood.
Man. God, I beg.
But who has ever experienced this thing before, yeah? I want to give like a small thing to talk about. Who's ever experienced this whole, they beat you senseless. Like, they beat your body senseless. And then they come with the, do you want to go and get ice cream?
Let's go step by step. They beat you. After they, like I said, they are still beating you and they're asking,
why are you crying?
Why are you crying? Why are you crying? Aggression about. Then after that one, it is now that they do not apologize. They will not come and knock at your door.
Okay, sorry. Again.
So do you want the remaining 2 meats inside the pot? Eh?
This
is what I'm saying. You guys had the food. I never got that. I never got the mini 2 meats. I went to bed hungry.
You know the worst thing is school parents is me. So my dad will beat me in front of the teacher. Like in front of the white teacher.
Oh yeah, that's happening.
School parents is me. Me, I know I'm a stubborn child in school anyway. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care as a kid, didn't it? But boy, as parents evening comes, I'm putting myself because I know I'm gonna be up from the minute the teacher finish, I'm like, go! That's a slap. If you dare even cry, you're collecting another one from the teacher. As soon as you get into the car, before the car starts, you're getting beat up. As the car is moving, you're getting slapped. You go and wear lazy.
And you dare not touch food. You dare not cry.
And then after that,
as you are in that parent's evening, they are now pinching you. Because what my mom used to do is that she would not show any facial expression. She'll be pinching you. She'll just pinch you, your whole thigh. And I'm like,
I know about that. The beatings are crazy nowadays. But let's talk about how this whole thing has affected our relationships with others. Because I can tell you, when it came to play fighting with my friends, it was not play fighting. It was war.
That was serious fight.
It was war.
I was just being the anger that got with my parents and all my friends.
The thing is that because of that, my friends called me Tiger in school. Like, they changed it from Tiger to Lion. Because you can't beat Ikem and think that Ikem will leave you alone. I will beat you, and you will shed tears. Because why are you beating me?
I don't know why I'm so different from all of you guys.
That's the aggressive
you,
side.
Wait, sorry. I don't know what it is. Like, we went through the same thing, but it's like, my only is like opposite of you people. It's crazy, because like, for me, it made me so insecure. I always felt so small. And like, it was combined with the fact that when I was young, I used to be mega bully. Like, bro, if I start talking about secondary school, so like, if someone was like insulting me or like trying to fight me, I just used to take it, because like, if my mom is talking to me, how can I talk back? Like, I've been like, I had that mindset that, oh, shut up, just listen, let it go. And it still carries till now, because like, I cannot stand confrontation. Like,
me too.
The slightest thing, I'm off, I'm out.
I hate confrontation, but when it comes to, we need to fight, I will fight. I'm so sorry. When it comes to speaking, I can't do that.
Because I'm thinking, if my parent was there now, don't collect two slap or four slap, bang, 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 bang. Mm-mm. But boy, if it's one and one thing I'm fighting with, oh, mommy, I will fight. So then why? The anger that I have with my parents, I can't release on them. I will release on this people.
Man.
No, for me, it was a little bit different with the whole memory thing. It was that when I was actually play fighting, it would be aggressive because I had anger issues as a kid. But like the anger issues kind of mellowed off in secondary school because I became softer. I was fat. I was fat when I was in secondary school. And the insults were crazy because I was fat and stubby. So I was like, sure, fat and quite smart. So the name they used to call me Pete. Right, I used to actually try and play football. So it was like a spin-off on the word Pele. I was fat, so a bigger L, Pepe. Pepe, I swear, I kicked that shit. It paid me because one of the guys I thought was my friend back then, I was small, I didn't understand chig. So it was like, it was, I used to laugh. But when a girl that I didn't like, that was a friend to the girl that I liked, now start using that name. My brother in Christ and my sisters for here too. My sisters and the nuns. Brother, I speared this girl through a blackboard.
Wait, what?
I became Roman Reigns. Uh-huh. I'm telling you, I was the start of the equal rights movement that day, then there. But they now took me to the, I was like, shit. Because if they told my mom, I think back then I was still kind of spoiled. I was like, okay, I'll manage my mom. But if they should tell my dad,
it's over.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not going to come back to that school the day after.
I will lose all my fat in that moment. I'm gone. Because my dad sees me as this like straight A boy, you know, always smart. I'm not guiding. I didn't guide. But that's not even the worst part. The best part was that when I had that during SS1, I think, I had this growth spurt. I was back then, I think this low taper fade, you know, all the sides I put now this big hair. Yeah, that was how I was looking. I was like, I was feeling that. And then I had this growth spurt. I started getting taller, a little bit slimmer because I went to hostel. Hostel, suffering reduces your weight. Always remember that in an African Always remember that. Suffering alone reduces weight because you will not be grateful about the food they give you at home until you start living on your own.
Yes,
that's one thing.
Well, you're eating garlic for that. Morning, night,
and that's too real. Uni, I was eating rice and stock. Bro.
What I was?
Rice and stock for breakfast and dinner. I skipped lunch.
No sugar. Garri with hot water.
Bro, life was tough back then. Yeah, that's the thing. In hostel, yeah, in our own, it wasn't that it was the prettiest school, but it was a private school. But almost...
Man, we have genuinely all tried, man. I feel like...
There's still a lot to talk about.
The provisions they used to... Goodimo, Serilac, all those things. Cause I was like, the seniors, big boy, Pete. Back of your head. That's when you know you're finished. But that's, I'm even going derailed now with the African household thing. So during that SS1 period, I had an inflated sense of self. It was like a weird dichotomy. I had an inflated sense of self, and I also had this. Insecurity. The inflated sense of self was meant to hide my security because I used to like play around with how I was, like hide when I was rebellious and act like I was the poster child for, I don't know, presidency or something. It now became a effort. It now became that, oh, he was overconfident, he was this, he was that. And I found my basketball thing early, so it was pretty annoying. I could dunk my rim in school because it was small, it was a very short rim. So it wasn't that big of a deal. So let me know, like, I used to try and fiend for girls. I've reduced now. I'm a happy child. I'm a holy child now. But back then, I used to fight. I don't like fight. But any new girl that came to the school, it's Phillips. it's Tamara's. It's his.
Oh, wow.
Bro,
they
called me roundabout. And I used to play American football in school days. They called me roundabout. The day they called me roundabout, and it was one girl that I liked. Okay, I started running every day after school. I would run to school, run back. So I'm thinking, now me they call roundabout. I can't touch you. But mommy, I will sleep. If you see me now, as Jade knows, Jade, what do I look like right now?
Yeah.
The picture of me before and after.
Well,
the before and after glove is always crazy.
My haircut was like a Ghanaian haircut.
Yeah, I'm still in my before. You guys fear my return. Fear the return of Jaddy. Forget that piece.
Yeah, the return of the gorilla man. Fury.
My guy.
Well, I have two more questions, guys, before we end this.
No, don't let's end.
What? End it yet.
Actually, but, no, I'm...
we have two more questions because this is a long podcast, guys. But
I'll come back for the part two, guys.
Yeah, there's going to be a part two. There's more a part two on Friday. You know, we could do a part two on Friday.
Part three is very possible too.
Yes. Let's hold on. My second to last question is what are three lessons each that you've taken away from your parents? You know, what are three lessons each that you've taken away from your parents that you are most grateful for? I want to start with Edler.
Ah, can we start with someone else?
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's fair. Tamara, let's go with you. Then Jaddy will be next, and then Elo will be third.
All right. Three lessons.
Yeah.
Can we go for like each parent? I'll make it short.
That's fine. That's perfect. That's okay.
All right, let me start with three lessons from my dad because I can name it on the top of my head. The ones that I remember is actually to first be very careful where you step. The places you step in, be very careful where you step because you can think you're the biggest man in your area. Go to another area, they will tap you down.
Yo, fuck.
Tap you down because I wouldn't say I was in a hood. But I was in a hood because first I came from the suburbs. I came from Lagos, Ikeja. Then I went to the island. And then in the island, I was in trenches before I became, like, from grace to grass to grace to small grace now. So, like, I was going back and forth. You see those trenches? Bro, I entered an accidental wrestling match and I got beaten to shit. I had to explain to my mom and dad that something ran over me. Because if not, I don't know how I'll explain. I got dragged. Oh, that one will be in part two, guys. Yes. But okay, that's the first one. The second one is hygiene matters. Hygiene matters.
Yes. Please.
Cleanliness, hygiene. Please, men, if you want to try and flirt with these beautiful ladies that are here, or other beautiful ladies that you want to go for, don't smell bad. Don't smell like you've been playing basketball for 3 hours. It does not look good on you. It does not. It really doesn't. Because I have actually had experiences with that. And it was the biggest insult of my life. When I was trying to flirt with this guy, she was like, oh no, you smell like dried up socks. I was like, ah, no.
Oh my God.
No. I said, nah, I'm sorry, bro.
Bro, it was in front of the homies too. We are running a two-man. I was like,
okay, yo, man.
I had to directly step. Yeah. And then the third one actually was not a lesson that he told me, but something I've learned. How to deal with rejection the right way.
Yes.
I have to put the right way because there are different ways to deal with rejection.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more of a accept it. Don't let it really stop you. You can be persistent, but know when to stop.
Yes,
you can find your way around it. People will think that that's the bad one. Maybe some people that are still like with the African mindset that, oh no, don't question when they say no. No, you actually should, because when you start to question them as softly as you can, they tend to crack. They tend to understand, because at that point, when you grow older, it's no longer, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. It's that this guy is determined in what he wants to do.
Very true. Very, very
the,
true.
The narrative flips.
Yeah.
For my mother, it was to be kind.
Absolutely.
To be kind to even those that you didn't really know. But mm-hmm. then it was not really... It was really kind of counteractive to one of the other lessons my dad taught me, to be hard. To be hard guy. Because the scammers and the things you see in this country will show you shiggy. In Africa, will actually show you hell. Not even Africa, just everywhere in general. Because people can actually be quite mean.
But yeah.
To show kindness. And... my mom is even still teaching me how to take care of a woman. Ah, nah. The people say it's kind of insulted that, oh, you're a man, you're supposed to not take care of a woman. No, because if I live with you, you might get sick of me.
Very true.
So I'm like, it's understandable that yes, I'm an experiment, but I must at least, let me be the best experiment I can be. Let me try and learn from my scientists. Let me try and learn from the people who created me. Let me, from my masters, from my creators. So that's one of the lessons. My third lesson, there are a lot. There are a lot of ones that are really meaningful to me now, but I think the one I stand out with the most was actually find your spiritual ground.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. Thank you.
Find a very heavy spiritual center. Because
this is going to be talked about in part two, but yeah.
It's not necessarily, like, a lot of people are like, yeah, because of my parents, how they used to treat, like, these are Christians. I would rather be atheists than Christians. And they're like, my mom kind of mellowed out over a while. Yeah, no, like, people have gone through the kind of trauma that when they see these people, the way they're acting, the beatings, the insults, the two-facedness, the arguments that happen, and they're following, and then on Sundays or Fridays for Muslims, when they're praying, you know, I'd be like, are these not the same people that used to beat me like Shiggy? They're now preaching, thou shalt not spare the rod, thou shalt be kind to others. What? This is not, and you'd not be so disgusted in it. And you'd rather just turn to a different side.
They will tell you, that is very, very true. Thank you, Tamara, for that. You know, Jade, I would like to go to you. Three reasons, please. Three things
I've learned from my mom. You know, in as much as my mom might be problematic and might be slightly, you know, touchy, she is one of the most incredible people I know, if not the most incredible person I know.
Yeah.
She has done so much, I cannot even start to count how grateful I am. And yeah, I have learned that, like, in future, when I do get my own child, like, I'm not going to let any circumstance deter me from, like, trying my best. I'm going to be as hardworking as I can. Like, right now, I'm lazy, but by God, I will change. By God, I will change. Yeah, second thing is transparency.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of African parents do this thing of, like, oh, you're a child, I'm the parent. You don't need to know everything. You cannot know everything. But my mom is like, she tries to be as open as she can. Obviously, it's not everything she says here, but, like,
yeah,
even like the little things,
it is still, or, like, very much appreciated.
So I want to carry that on. Third thing I've learned. It's not everything you have to know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Not everything you have to know. Like, sometimes you just take your mind away from it and, like, trust that. Oh, I mean, I'm talking in, like, the sense of when I have my child. Like, sometimes just throw your mind and then, like, trust that. Oh, I have trained my child right, and I have faith in his or her, like, decision making capabilities and whatnot.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jade. Hello, what do you have to say on that?
So my three things.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this, you know, my father's just there. He's just gonna be in the back, but, like, this is mainly for my mother, because I feel like she was more of, like, the role model in the house. But, like, she's made me driven, because, like, I know, like, not like, it's like she was very hardworking, like, especially being, like, an African immigrant coming to Canada, all that stuff. Like, it's hard, especially when you have, like, you're taking, providing for five kids. Like, it's very hard, and it would always work. Like, and, like, I'm in school. Like, I didn't have to go on, like, any loans or anything, because she, like, from the moment she came to Canada, she, like, set up a fund, like, worked her, like, ass off. I'm gonna obviously help her in the future for my other siblings to pay off, so they don't have to go on loan as well. But, like, that's one thing. Like, she was always hardworking. She made sure to ensure the best life for us, so that's, like, very driven for me. And then also, like, I feel like she made me a respectful person, especially to, like, the elders, because she, one thing that they always call is, like, abroad spoils children, because there's a lot of people in Canada, like some kids, they have no like respect, especially to elders. They just like abuse them left and right.
Yeah,
like as growing up, like you're supposed to respect them, like even if they're not related to you, like calling them uncle or auntie, just saying more and like all that stuff, that's a sign of respect. You should be doing that because they're older than you, you learn from them and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So thing. And then I'd say she's given me thick skin, because like, you know, African parents always push you to the limit because obviously they want you to do your best. Absolutely. And they want you to have high expectations for yourself, and sometimes that could be good and bad, but like at the end I think it was very good. Like it just motivated me and made sure not to like let anybody get under my skin, because I know my value, like I'm gonna stick these and like reach for the stars and all that. So yeah,
absolutely. Gangster, would you like to, you know, tell us your three things?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
So, to me, I'll start with my mom. First thing is to always be praying. Second thing is to have an open mind of everything. And third thing, to always love, no matter what situation you are, to always love yourself, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
From my dad, I learned how to be tough, how to provide, and at the same time, how to be caring, because my dad was a tough person, but at the same time, he cared about us. So
yeah.
That's my love. So I don't have much to say, but that's who he is. I just learned how to be more loving, more prayerful, more caring towards any situation you have in.
That's wonderful. Well, for me, I would say, you know, from my dad, I learned determination, because my dad is a very determined man. You know, in so many aspects of his life, I have seen him work and push and get to where he is today. So determination. I would also say I have seen, like I said, I've learned from my dad how to understand, you know, go to the root of the problem and solve it from the root and work up. Do you understand? Go to the root and to work up. And I've also learned that, you know, hard work pays. From my dad, hard work pays. Now, from my mom, I have learned that, you know, you need to love. There is no way, no how, you know, love would always have a sense of place in every single thing that you do. So you need to love, you know. The second thing that my mom taught me was that you need to understand who you are. You can never forget who you are. You must always remember who you are, who we raised you to be, what kind of person we've made you to be, and what you have experienced that has made you to be who you are right now. You know, and the third, last thing that I learned from my mom is that, you know, God is the one thing that keeps every single person on check. God is the one thing that keeps every single person on check. So if you need any help, you are confused and you can't talk to a person, the next person you need to turn to is God, because he's the one person who's going to help. He's the one person who's going to satisfy all needs possible, you know. And the last thing I want to ask each and every one of us is, what is one thing that you want to say just for the next podcast for Friday? What's, guys, not multiple, one thing.
One thing.
One thing you want to feed into the next podcast. And you have to remember it for the next one. So if you want to write it down. You know, but yeah. Jade.
Let's talk about the double standards.
Yeah.
Why can you do this but I cannot?
Yeah.
Why when you say jump, I have to ask how high? Why? Man, you know what? You guys coming next episode. Like, okay, I'm taking over. I'm sorry, but like next time I'm asking the questions I'm hosting. You're gonna be like, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Jade wants to take over my podcast. Oh my god.
Jade took over.
All right, hello. What's the one thing you want to say for next? What's called Friday's podcast? What do you want to say?
Jesus. I was gonna talk about like, you know. Oh, it's ending. Like, what's it called? I'm almost done school. They expect me to have boyfriend and marriage, but there's a lot of past experience with relationships.
Okay, so I'm getting to that. Okay, That's beautiful. Thank you for that, because I also have stuff to talk about that as well. Tamara, what do you have to say on that?
Well, I think going into what Elo said, we are going to talk about how this trauma has affected our love lives and our searching for love life.
Yes!
Yo! Facts. Okay, so the same thing from Tamara and Gerald. Sorry, why did I keep telling you Gerald? I am remembering Gerald.
Because,
sorry.
Why I'm remembering isn't Gerald. Remembering
guys, everyone who is listening, Gerald is our friend. To everyone who's listening, Gerald is our friend, and you know, I'm remembering him because I think I need to text him about something. Sorry. Anyway, Gabriel, what is one thing you wanna you know, put forth to the next podcast on Friday?
The way African parents compare kids to other kids.
Yes. Oh my god!
I was hated as a kid. I hate getting compared to another kid.
Not just other kids, other siblings.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Other kids, siblings, like cousins, anything.
All that.
Let's not expand on that right now, guys. But yeah, we're gonna do that. And then the one thing I want to add, I want to say the thing of you know, the body. Let's talk about the body when it comes to the African household. You know, I want us to talk about the body because it's a lot. It's a lot of that podcast. The part two might even be longer than this, guys. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen,
part three, guys.
All right.
You know, we're gonna make this a series.
We are.
My goodness. But anyway, guys, thank you very much for letting us in your ears tonight. Obviously, these are my friends. You know, we have Tamara, we have Jade, we have Elo, and we have Gabriel, and they have come on my podcast to keep you guys entertained and give you guys some useful information and advice for today. And you've also heard from my part as well. As we said, there's going to be a part two on Friday, so please do remember to listen out for that. And please do remember to, you know, take care of yourselves, do the right thing, you know, as far, this is what we do. This is the Okonjo radio station, guys. Please remember to always keep coming back for more, because, you know, it's me. It is me, you know. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be signing off right now. And thank you, guys. Do you guys want to say bye-bye?
Au revoir.
Bye, guys. This is the Gorilla Man. I'll catch you in the next one, and the one after, and the one after that.
Tamara, do you want to say bye-bye?
Goodbye. And please, be prepared for episode two, because it's going to be something. It's going to be a lot more rants and laughs.
Invite your mommies and daddies.
Gabriel.
Don't invite your mothers and fathers.
Invite your parents.
You want to say bye-bye?
Let them catch their sobs.
Invite your parents to listen to this. It's going to be fine.
You're going
to
let your parents?
Also, guys, quick one. Like, don't forget to, like, leave comments. Like, ask questions. What do you want us to talk about? Like,
most how... definitely. You know, obviously, I always say that. If you guys listen to my outro, you're going to know what I say. But anyway,
you guys
do better. My friends have said bye-bye, and thank you guys for listening. As I said, thank you for letting us in your ears tonight. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Mwah. See you guys. Nah, this was so fun.
It definitely was.
Wait, Tamara, do we know each other?
Nah, I don't.
Are you on TikTok?
Yeah, I'm on TikTok.
Hey, what's your app?
Lazy Hooper.
You know what, Kems, if you're still listening, just like send it to me. Too much stress.
Send it to you after.
Hey, becoming right, my lads.
I no problem.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. As you know, this is Nkem Limukunjo, your host and your director, signing out from the Okunjo radio station. I'm curious to know your favorite part of this poem, your favorite part of this short story, your favorite part of this discussion. Tell me what your favorite part was, why it caught your attention, and what you think you have learned from it. Also, if you have any questions, let me know and I will do my best to answer them. I also would love to know what you think about this, and if it has affected you in any way, tell me. You know, I'd love to know the tea, I love to know the gist. Tell me. anyway, remember, this is a bi-weekly podcast with episodes that air every Tuesday and Thursday at 9 p.m. West African time. Please follow me on Instagram as Saphy_234. That is SAPPHY _234. And Poetry and Podcast. That is Poetry and Podcast, all one word, where I will be posting the poems that I have read. You can also follow me on TikTok at Nkem Limukunjo. That is NkemDilimOkonjo. Or on Twitter at Nkem09. That is NkemO9. My podcast is also available on Google Podcast, Acast, Audrey, Alexa Flash, AntennaPod, Pcast, Podcast Addict, Spreewell. Spreewell is spelled SPREWELL podcast. That's Spreewell podcast. Then there is Momento FM. That is Momento.fm. Good Pods, TuneIn. TuneIn is all one word. That is TUNE. Then IN. That's TuneIn, all one word. Snipped. That is spelled SNIPD. Then Podverse. PODVERSE Podverse, Podcast Go, Podcast App, Podbean, that is PODBEAN, Podbean, Moonbeam, yeah, like the moon beam, yeah, Player FM, that is player.fm, Luminary, LUMINARY, then Clever FM, that is clever.fm, Cast Mix, CASTMIX, then Deezer, DEEZER, yeah, Deezer, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Castbox, Stitcher, iVox, Breaker, Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and absolutely Patreon, and obviously, where are you listening? Anchor. Please share to your family and friends and tell them to share, and then share wider and wider and wider until you can hear me on everything. Also, give feedback and comment by leaving a voice message through the Anchor app, commenting on Spotify or any other social media platforms. I'm sending lots of hugs, lots of love to those who need it, and lots of joy to those who are expecting it. Yeah, blessings, love, peace, joy, and absolute favor coming your way. Good evening, good night, peace and love. Thank you for tuning in.